leaping into the future, singing about bells ringing. I love it. And I love the way the Gospel of John tells the Easter story, and I love the way the letter of John picks up on what the Gospel of John is all about. I want to turn first to what we heard Cindy read from that first letter of John with an eye to what Easter life is all about, what living Easter life is all about. Here you get the great John. By this point in his long life, a living legend, to use Reverend Ray's language, he's an elder, a sage. He's outlived all the other apostles. And here he is in this letter, trying to sum up all of his wisdom for a young faith community some distance away. One can imagine those first people who heard this letter. And notice I said heard this letter, not read this letter, because what we do every Sunday morning is a very time-honored tradition. These letters were not written to be read by one person alone or even a couple people in a kitchen or a dining room. These letters were written to be read by all who gathered for worship. Can imagine what they felt like getting this letter from John. It would be like getting a letter from, I don't know, somebody who toured with the Beatles, or somebody who was with Eisenhower on D-Day, or someone who traveled with Martin Luther King Jr. This is John. He was with Jesus. And here's what John writes. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands. Right there, just think of that one line, having just read the story from the Gospel of John about Thomas reaching out and touching Jesus. John writes, we declare what we have seen and what we have touched. And then John goes on, concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father was revealed to us. We declare to you that we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, with God, and with God's Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy... We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. What did John just say? We are writing these things so that our joy... That must be a misprint. I mean, if Pope Francis or Thich Nhat Hanh or Oprah or Paul McCartney, name your favorite religious leader or favorite celebrity, if they wrote a letter to the good people of Hillcrest Congregational Church, they'd be doing that to make us, to make our joy complete, wouldn't they? Not for them. Now, why am I going on about this? Because I'm going to tell you that Easter joy is to be shared. Well, you're right. I am going to do that. Sisters and brothers, Easter joy is to be shared. So go out and share it. Our sermon's over. Joshua, can you start the next song? But there is more, deeper, as if that isn't deep enough, more and deeper going on here. John writes, we declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Any idea what or who that word of life is? Does it ring any bells? I imagine some of you have in mind the first words of the Gospel of John that we hear just about every Christmas. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. it was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without the Word, not one thing came into being. In the Word was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. That Word. And so we heard in this letter that Cindy wrote. I'm giving you a lot of credit. I, John, as he puts it, we, declare that the eternal divine Word, that part or aspect of God, really was born as Jesus. I know. I saw him. I talked to him. I touched him. And Jesus really did die. Well, that's weird. I mean, if God was going to bother to be born, wouldn't you think that God would be, I don't know, more godlike, more like Superman or Wonder Woman or Black Panther, something like that? What is this eternal Word doing, being born as Jesus and then suffering and then dying and then getting resurrected? That's kind of an extra step or two, isn't it? Why bother? What's going on here? It's not a three-point sermon. It'll only be a two-point sermon. First, let's pay attention to how God operates. Is God up there twiddling God's thumbs or sending down thunderbolts or whatever it is that God's supposed to be doing according to whoever it is that tells us what God's supposed to be doing? No, that's not how it works. God up there. That's not how God works. Not according to the Christmas story. Not according to the Easter story. God somehow got born and lived and ministered and suffered and died so that God might overcome death and the ways of death for us, and connect or reconnect us all with each other and with God. If this Jesus who died and then resurrected appeared to the apostles and to others, if this Jesus is really that God or that aspect of God, really a human embodiment of that Word of life, who was with God and was somehow part of God and who is all wrapped up in creation, then of course Jesus, that Word of life, would be all about connecting us with each other and with God's self and with the whole of creation and with all that makes for life. That's number one. And secondly, the Superman, Wonder Woman sort of thing just isn't going to cut it. Because however effective blowing up bad guys is, even that keeps the same tired script going over and over again like a vicious cycle. And all you have to do is watch one of these blow 'em up superhero movies to know they pretty much always end where you know there's a sequel coming, where more people got to get blown up so that this Superman or Wonder Woman can prove what they are. This is where the wisdom of the gospel and the letter of John that we've heard this morning is so strong and so God-like. You can already feel and see both of those terms. Feel. Touch, see. John really wants us to get this, to sense it. And you can already sense it in just those few verses we've read together. From just those few verses, what this is all about, really living and really getting what living an Easter life is all about, and how Jesus really was God, that life-giving aspect of God embodied right here on earth for us. And so, to move to our gospel reading now. When Mary Magdalene goes out while it was still dark, and then when Thomas, who so often, and I think wrongly, is called Doubting Thomas, when he too is out and about at night while it was still dark, let's not miss the importance of both of those things. Mary is not hanging back, scared, helpless, hopeless. No, she's out there. And Thomas, why didn't he see Jesus that first time? Because he wasn't with the other men who were hiding out. And when Thomas does get the chance to see and touch the risen Christ, notice, it's not Superman he's looking for. He's already told us that. He wants to see the wounds. He gets it. And that's what he finds. A wounded God. A wounded God. Scars and all. Now, psychologists will tell you. Sociologists will tell you. Philosophers, well, at least any philosopher worth reading or listening to, will tell you. Your mothers, your fathers, your aunts and uncles, your big brothers and big sisters, all in their different ways, some more effectively, will all tell you. Any religious leader worth listening to or reading will tell you. Anybody worth listening to will tell you that to live life, to be human, is to be wounded somehow, some way, at least a little bit, beat up, scarred, let down. That's why Frank Sinatra's My Way resonates with everybody, even people who don't like Frank Sinatra. But let's be honest, who doesn't like Frank Sinatra? What's so amazing about the Easter story and about our God, who we know through Jesus Christ, is that it tells us God is wounded too. God is wounded too. And that's what the Thomas story is all about. It's why I love the Thomas story. Because when Thomas does see and does touch those wounds, he doesn't say, ew! He doesn't say, where's Superman? Thomas gets it. He says, my Lord and my God. And when he does then get to work, making his joy complete, to borrow John's language, by sharing God's good news with everybody, just like Mary Magdalene does, he's not afraid of the dark. He's already proven that. To walk in the light, to live an Easter life, to walk in the light, does not mean that it's necessarily light outside. And walking in the light does not necessarily mean that you can walk or do any particular thing perfectly or unhampered or without pain. We're all wounded somehow, some way. God is wounded. We walk in the light, where we are as who we are, scars and all. What could be more godlike? What could be more godlike than to spread the light, to live the joy, even when you're wounded, and even when there's darkness still all around? Sisters and brothers, we were born for times such as these. Jesus was risen, is risen for times such as these. Let's be like Mary and be out there living out God's love and God's light for our times. Let's be like Thomas and recognize that God's strength, our strength, is in being human, in being wounded, in being in touch with all it is to be human and not giving in to the ways of death. That's the Easter story. That's John's letter. That's the gospel. And thank John for telling it. And thank Jesus for living it, even dying it, and rising. And thank God for calling us through the light of the living Christ, the Word of life, to be fully who we are called and blessed to be. And let all of God's children say, Amen. Amen.